of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but it's the only offensive weapon in the armor. And when Jesus was tempted, just like all of us, he was tempted, and how he fought back was quoting the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. So thank you for that. A couple Sundays ago, during our prayer time, I addressed the fact that after our parables outreach, a few of our families had experienced some kind of bigger than normal problems in life. And since then, others have experienced similar struggles. And we kind of talked about spiritual warfare and how this is not uncommon. Hey, when we see tremendous personal growth in our relationship with God, or when we see church-wide or city-wide, or I mean, the larger you go, however, it doesn't. Anytime you see God doing an amazing work, or anytime in your personal life when you say, "I'm going to commit to this and I'm going to do this," and you begin to do more for God, the enemy doesn't like it. When people turn from evil, the devil tries to bring them back, tries to fight and scratch and pull and tries harder and harder and harder to get us away from the Lord. So as I've been praying and thinking this through, how do we, you know, we could either just keep on doing what we're doing, but I pray and think about, how can we, what does God want to teach us in this time? And sometimes when we're going through the battle is when we need to be reminded and taught, really, some of the most important and basic, like, beliefs, truths about God. And we remind ourselves, no, this is God. This is who I serve, right? This is who loves me and died for me. And so when we think about going through the battle, it would be nice to have armor to help us and weapons to help us. And God provides that for us. Okay, so in John 10:10, Jesus is talking and he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy." The devil doesn't come for any good purpose. Like, there is nothing, even when we sometimes might think something that is pops in our head or spoken to us, well, I don't know. The devil has no good for us. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer, and he's seeking to destroy. Over and over and over, in the Bible warns us. In Ephesians 6, right? We're going to read that in a little bit, but in the beginning verses of verse 10, says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Acts chapter 5, there's a story of Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 1, "A man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the disciples' feet. And Peter says to him, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?' Ephesians 4, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a place in your life. We don't have time to go through all the different things, but anger, unforgiveness, there's others in the biblical principles that if you hold on to those, you're giving the devil a place into your life. Luke 11:14, Jesus was driving out a demon that made a man mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. Demonic activity is talked about and taught throughout Scripture. And the Christian is not exempt from the devil's schemes. In fact, the New Testament, in each of the letters that we read and that speak about, you know, most of these I've quoted from, those are written to churches, to believers, saying to be aware, watch out. Okay? I'm going to clarify that a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. You are possessed by God at salvation. So when we confess our sins, we repent of those, and when we turn our life to God, God comes into our life. Okay? So Christians are full of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. That's why we say, is Jesus in your heart, or Jesus is living in your heart? Like, he's living in our soul, right? And so the devil can't. So this could be a whole nother study, and there's books written on the topic, but Christians cannot be possessed, but our enemy will oppress, meaning from the outside, attack. Okay? So we need to be ready. And thankfully, God knows what the devil tries, and he has provided armor and weapons to equip us for the battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Our enemy is not of this world. Thus our weapons, our armor, is not of this world. You can dress like that, and the devil will still get to you, okay? Because our weapons are not of this physical world. Paul lists the weapons that God does provide and the armor that God does supply, the spiritual armor, the spiritual weapons for our warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll turn with me there. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be studying each piece of the armor. As I was making the announcement today, okay, next Sunday we won't. Next Sunday we'll be in church in Devil's Lake. If you missed that announcement, go to the church, to the campground, Lakewood Park Bible Camp in Devil's Lake next Sunday morning. There's information in the newsletter. Okay? So, God supplies the armor for us. Starting in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We have to repeat this. If your coworker or your family member or your children, or if your neighbor, okay, your boss, I don't know, the school principal, or the governor, I don't know, whoever, they're not your enemy. They might say stuff or do stuff to you, okay, that's not good, but they're not our enemy. Our enemy, verse 12, says it's the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, so when the devil comes, when those evil things are happening to you, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. I'm kind of wondering if he wants us to sit back and just be on cruise control. No. No, he wants us to stand firm with our full armor on, ready for battle. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I didn't put this last verse on there, but verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. There's a lot of different ways you can pray. There's a lot of different things you can request of God. Pray, 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 pray. With this in mind, verse 18 finishes, be alert and always keep on sitting back and relaxing and letting the devil do whatever he wants to do. No, no. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We need to pray. Pray, pray, pray. So the armor is, I don't know if you could go back to the, I think the first slide has our picture of the armor and the labels. So the armor is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of peace. I kind of learned they were shoes. No, like warriors would wear boots that would protect their legs and they would be going into the fight. So their feet would be ready and going. Okay, I won't get sidetracked. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Okay, that's good armor right there. Okay, we look good in that. Better than being walking around in a battle with nothing but clothes on. Struggling, how am I going to survive this? I got flaming arrows being shot at me. And God gives us this armor so we can be ready and stand. The armor is complete. We are protected. And he even gives us a sword as a weapon. We are ready as long as we put it on. The armor is useless if we leave it in, and I tried to Google, like, where did warriors keep their armor, right? It was in, like, a suitcase, I don't know. On Minecraft, they have, like, armor stands, don't they? I don't know. What do the kids do these days? Okay? But the armor is useless if it's just sitting there. If God says, here, put on this for the battle. And we're like, I don't know, man. It's kind of clinky and big and heavy. I have to carry a shield. And I don't know, God. I can probably do this on my own. No. No. God supplies the armor. We have to put it on and take our stand against the devil's schemes. Today we're going to focus on the belt of truth. But before we do, I want to quickly learn what schemes the devil uses. What schemes are we up against? One commentary described it like this, and I think it's on one of the slides I have here. The works of the devil affect humanity morally, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. Morally, the devil entices people to sin, making evil seem appealing so that people will choose it over obedience to God. And we see that in James 1, verse 14. Physically, the devil can inflict disease. He seeks to use physical trials to cause people to curse God. Anyone read Job lately? Okay, Job chapter 2, Luke 13, 11. There's different times people are, the demons will possess those who don't believe in God. Intellectually, the devil seduces people into error, teaching false doctrines, 1 Timothy 4:1. The devil will cast doubt and keep unbelievers intellectually blinded to spiritual truth and the gospel. That's in 2 Corinthians 4. The devil will arrange distractions. This kind of happens a lot. And promote confusion that causes people to act hastily, irrationally, and foolishly. Spiritually, he takes every opportunity to snatch away the word of God when it is sown into a person's heart. Matthew 13, 19. Remember in the parables drama, each one was given a seed of faith, and the devil is trying to take that, right? Wherever that seed was planted, hey, we have different soil. We want the seed of faith to land on good soil and grow and not let the devil snatch it. In summary, the works of the devil are to counter the work of God. As a murderer, Satan works against God, who is life. As a liar, Satan works against God, who is truth. In the lives of unbelievers, the devil tries to keep them from coming to saving faith in Christ. In the lives of believers, the work of the devil is to tempt them to sin and ruin our influence in the world and our faith in God. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, ready to devour. He's seeking, he's plotting, trying everything, and we have to be ready. We need to put on the full armor of God every single day. And it starts with the belt of truth. I was really hoping I could find or buy armor, but it's kind of expensive and it takes 6 weeks to get here. So you have to use your imagination. Okay. But knowing the truth is very important in battling the one known as the father of lies. John 8:44, Jesus tells of Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's from Jesus himself. The belt. The belt of truth. The belt in the armor of a warrior is not necessarily considered, a vital part of the armor. When you ask warrior, anybody know of a warrior that wears armor like that? Okay. If you ask them, the belt's probably not on their list of what armor they have, but it was very important. It would gird up the clothing that the warriors would wear under their armor, okay? That it would secure their loins, okay? And it would give them the freedom for movement. When a man would sit down and was relaxed, he would take off his belt. When he would putting on the belt, prepared that warrior for action. It freed up his movements, and it put a soldier in a battle frame of mind. And we need to have the same preparation. Truth is the foundation of all our beliefs in God. Our faith in God is all based on truth. Like a belt that buckles the clothing of the warrior. When we clothe ourselves in righteousness, Isaiah explains, you know, we put on the righteousness of God. The belt girds up all the promises of God in our life. I was trying to, I wish I could explain this in a better, more clear way, but the belt of truth, all of the doctrine that God has applied to our life as his children, is girded up, like salvation is held together when we put on the belt of truth. No one can take that away. Don't let the devil try to take that from you. Gird up in truth. Let's get real today. We're going to have some crowd participation. So this will be the first one. Okay? By raising of hands, how many of you have heard the lies of the devil? You'd say, the devil has lied. I've recognized the voice of the devil. Okay? Here are some that people in the past month, I would say, that people have said publicly, so it's okay, I think, for me to share. I'm not going to name names, so don't be scared, but they're common. And then I'm going to share some that I've heard multiple thousands of times, right, in my life, to me, myself, to others and other believers. So during our parables outreach, the lies that people talked about hearing, you have so much going on, you won't do any of it right. You're too busy with this that you're neglecting your family. You're neglecting your other responsibilities. People are going to laugh at you when you talk about Jesus. I've heard so many times the devil condemning Christians for sins that they've been forgiven of, habits that they've been broken and set free from. But the devil speaks those lies back. That's too bad of a sin for God to forgive. Have you heard that one? Oh, you messed up again. I knew you couldn't live up to those standards. Oof. The devil will use people to speak lies to us. And even if that was 50 years ago or 20 years ago or last week, he'll bring them up again. Even if that person has asked forgiveness of them, you remember that phrase. Yeah, but they probably meant it. Yeah, but they've asked forgiveness of it. We got to forgive them and walk and not dwell on it. But the devil will remind us, you will never amount to anything. You're going to be just like your father. Or on the flip side, You will never be like your father. You're alone. You're the only one that struggles with blank. You're the only one, don't say it to anybody else because no one else is struggling with blank. Just remind you, Jesus, Hebrews 2:14, I believe, says that Jesus was tempted in every way. Just like you and I, that's what that means. So Jesus Christ, okay, was tempted just like us. So when the devil says, you're the only one, you're not. Or the lie, you really need this to be happy by this. Man, if you had more of this, if you had that, oh man, look at that person, they're really happy because of this. I could go on and on. You are weak, you are ugly, you are dumb. No one can ever love you. All you ever do is mess things up. Give up. Quit. Throw in the towel. Are these lies like popping up in your head? Okay? Lies, lies, lies. All the devil does is lie. And we're exposing him today. I've said a lot of these, but this is, we're going to take some from the audience today, okay? What are some lies that you've been told? Shout them out, or if you want to be like a good student and raise your hand, you can raise your hand and I'll call on you, okay? Tell us, let's say some out loud. What are some lies that you hear? Yeah, Angie.
God would love you, but not allow this to happen to you.
Okay. Wow. Okay. If God loved you, he would not allow this to happen to you. What's another one?
Unworthy.
You're unworthy. Yeah.
Stupid.
You're stupid. You're not enough. Do you guys like audience participation? I just feel like, I mean, you could, some of you have talked about, you know, preaching up here, so this is your moment. Preach to us. What?
One can't hurt.
You don't deserve anyone. Yeah.
Will never be good enough.
You'll never be good enough.
You're ugly.
You're ugly.
No one will know.
No one will know. Yeah.
The Bible is outdated.
Good. More. Any more? What was the very first lie recorded in the Bible? Way back in Genesis. What was the very, I can't say it was the first thing out of the devil's mouth, but it was the first lie. What did he say? Did God really say? Blah, 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 blah. And he spilled out his spew and disgust. Did God really say you would die if you ate that fruit? Did God really say that you would, all your sins would be forgiven? Did he really say that sin would be forgiven? Did he really say he loves you, or only if you do this does he love? Did God really say? When the devil is lying, you need to fill your mind with the truth, and that's what the belt of truth does. So to answer the first lie, did God really say? Okay. This is what God did say. You might want to take a picture of it, save it, read these verses. There's probably more. I guarantee you there's more. Okay. What did God really say? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about you're a new creation in Christ, that the old is gone, okay? So when the devil brings up the past, no, I'm forgiven, I'm a new creation, my sin is wiped away as far as the east is from the west. You can read Ephesians 2, verse 10. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Romans 1, Ephesians 2, Colossians 3, over and over, talks about I am greatly loved by God. Ephesians 2 also says I am alive with Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5. It's not I who live, but it's Jesus Christ lives in me, Galatians 2, verse 20. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Jesus in you is greater than the devil that's out wandering the world, prowling around. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 13. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me, Romans 8, 37. And we can probably go on, and there's probably more. Write them down and let me know. Tell them, okay? Listen to these truths. This is what you want to fill your mind with. When Jesus was tempted, the devil led him out to the wilderness and tempted him in three different ways. When he would be tempted, Jesus would correct him. Actually, the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says that. When we're lied to, when we're deceived, speak the truth. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19 says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. When we talk about this is not in my notes, it'll be just a moment. But when we talk about Pharisees in the New Testament in Jesus' day, the religious leaders would have those big robes on and they would just adore themselves in different things. But they were doing this. They would write scripture and have it on the tassels of their sleeves and around their neck. They would wear things on their forehead because of this scripture. Wouldn't that be really easy to remember the truth of God if you had it with you? If you take a picture and the next time the devil says something to you, you open up your phone, go to your photos, and boom, you have this list. And you say, no, but I remember I'm a new creation and the old is gone. So that's the point of this verse in Deuteronomy is, put it on your hands, bind them to your forehead. So they took it very literally. It's good. Verse 19, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lay down, when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. That's why people will write stuff on their walls when they're building the home. They're dedicating this to the Lord, right? Angie and the worship team, if you would come, we'll start to close here. John 8:32 is a powerful promise from Jesus. It says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Today, I want to encourage us to know the truth. When we feel attacked by lies, know the truth. Bind up your armor together in truth. The other pieces of the armor are there because of the truth of who God is, what he has done in our life. All of his promises, all of his commandments, all of the things that we learn from the Word of God is truth. And it holds all the rest of the armor together. It holds all of the things in our hearts and our mind and our soul together. Be encouraged today. Apply the truth of God's Word to every part of your life. Not to give the enemy a foothold or an opening in your life, however you want to word that, okay? You have to guard every part of your life. He's going to try everything. Oh, you're good. You're good against standing up to that temptation. How about this one and this one and this one and this one? He's going to try. He's going to push you. But James 4, Verse 7 tells us, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we submit to God, when we submit to the armor of God, when we submit to all of these verses we just read, when we give our life to the Lord, when we humble ourselves and express our need for him, when we are submitted to God, we can resist the devil and he's going to flee. If we try to resist the devil on our own without the armor, if we try to resist the devil on our own righteousness, I'm a good person. I help the old lady across the street, so devil, get away from me, okay? No, when we submit to God, then we can resist the devil and he will flee. Stand with me. I hope as you heard the lies that we exposed today, that something triggered in you, okay? And that you could see that those lies are straight from the pits of hell, from the devil who wants to pull you there with him, okay? But we have a Savior in Jesus Christ that's rescuing us from him. And he's helping us to live, helping us to win the battle. So Heavenly Father, God, I love you, Lord. I thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. God, and in this world, there's so much false doctrine. There's so many different views of life, how we got here, how we should live. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. God, that when it is applied to our life, it's life transforming. It's life changing. It renews our mind. And it transforms us away from evil and to you, Lord, and your freedom. Help us to stand in that, Lord. Help us to submit to you. If we don't know how to do that, Lord, right now, God, help us right now. God, that we would just turn our life over to you. Friends, if that's you today and you want to submit to God, it's confessing of your sins, the things that God is revealing to you right now that you need to repent of. And it's declaring that you're going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to serve the devil and I'm going to listen to that any longer. I'm going to turn my life to him. That's the first most important thing. And you can do that today with a simple prayer of confession, Lord, and telling God you're going to rely on him. We need you, God. And to come in, ask him to come into your life, and he will. And he'll wash away your sin and give you new life, a new creation. If you're a Christian today, you've been serving God, but these lies are just penetrating at some point in your life, and you want to build up the armor there. Take up whatever piece of armor that would protect that part of your life. Express that to Jesus today. God's not going to force a relationship with him. He's not going to force us to put on the armor. We have to submit to God. I'd encourage you today to do that. And every day. So I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in a song here. And if you would like prayer, I'd love to pray with you today. You could come forward, and I'd love to help lead you to the Lord in these, whatever the weakness would be, whatever you're asking from God. I'd love to pray with you today for that. So come forward during this time.